This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Two Money Moves coming your way. Downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 189. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Still to come in about 30 minutes, we will have Kendall Fantasy Life join the program. She's got several prop angles for us on the kickoff game of the NFL season. Seattle and New England going head-to-head later on tonight. We'll have some of that discussion in a moment as well. Best bets at the end of the hour. It is also Wednesday, which means West Coast bias. So looking at some of the marquee West Coast college football games that we think have the most potential betting intrigue. But before we get into all of this, JVT, we were talking about the Cowboys season opener in particular and how maybe this market hasn't fully accounted for the defensive upgrades that they have made. And quite frankly, a lot of the unknowns about what the Dallas Cowboys defense is going to be.
Yes, this is a good stat. Joseph Hoyt, who covers the Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News, tweeted this out a few days back, probably about a week ago. So as he says, how different is the Cowboys defense this year? 46.2% of snaps taken last year on defense are by players no longer on the roster. The top two snap getters, Donovan Wilson, 921, and Kenneth Murray, 873, are both currently free agents. And Hoyt adds on to that the next day, saying 31.2% of the snaps taken last year on the Cowboys defense belong to players who aren't on any team's 53-man roster as of September 3rd. So that's, it tells you nearly a third of the snaps taken by that defense are by guys who can't even get a job at this point right now in the league. So the whole point here is, as we were talking about this, and I think the Cowboys and the Bengals are somewhat mirror images of one another, two of the better offenses in the NFL that we very much trust that have rebuilt their defenses in different ways. Bengals went with guys that are known commodities by trading and or signing them in free agency. The Cowboys went with also trades, but then also supplemented some guys in the draft. But are both two teams that if their defenses can creep back toward average, maybe they're going to be better on defense. Mm-hmm. They can be better. And thus, maybe it is worth playing some of these games under the total early on because the market isn't accounting enough for a potential improvement. I mean, for this defense, especially for Dallas, that's massive. Yeah. Nearly half of the snaps taken are not on this roster anymore. And a third of those guys can't even find a job right now.
And these season opening totals, two of the higher ones that are on the board for week one, Dallas against the Giants on the road, 48.5, and then the Bengals hosting the Buccaneers, 50.5, even with that number coming down 2 points, is still the highest that we have for the entire slate of week one games. Like I said, though, week one is officially kicking off later on tonight out there in Seattle. Seattle, by the way, while we were doing that trends and interesting nuggets segment in the last block, another one just to throw at you real quickly, Seattle 21-2 straight up is a favorite under Mike McDonald since he was hired in 2024. So when they have been in the favorites role, they've been winning these games outright. 3-point favorite where things sit right now. Total sitting 44.5.
Sure, it's not 213-2-1.
And okay. So, yes, I will. I found my resource, went back, and it was and one, not 351. Yeah. It was 35-1. But
all right, so we're doing player props here.
Still notable.
Do you want the ones that I was looking at?
Yeah, let's go.
I've got three.
We can just kind of like ping back and forth if you want.
Two are kind of tied to one another. A.J. Brown, longest reception. The number set at 22.5. So kind of looking at this game, listening to some smarter football folks than I. So what's one of the big things that we've talked about here about this game that I'm sure everybody has, which is the pressure and how Drake May was under that pressure and how the Seahawks were getting after him and, you know, Will Thomas, the tiny arms, all that kind of stuff, right? So one of the things that
Will Campbell.
The Patriots, what did I say, Will Thomas? Yeah, Will Campbell, thank you. One of the things that potentially could happen then to offset some of the pressure that could be going Drake May's way is, do the Patriots play a little bit bigger? Do you have a fullback in there? Do you have more tight ends? Maybe an extra offensive lineman, whatever it is. And so if you play a little bit bigger, the Seahawks are forced to not so much adjust, because a lot of nerdy stats will tell you the Seahawks really trusted their base defense a ton last year, but more so just that they'll have to play some more guys in the box, right, because you're playing a little bit bigger, which could leave some one-on-one opportunities for A.J. Brown. Well, A.J. Brown, one-on-one opportunities against a secondary that could be down its two top safeties and another piece, obviously, as we've talked about with the second-round pick and more, that could lead to at least one chunk play that really helps out this Patriots team. So A.J. Brown, longest reception, over 22.5 yards, or do you go Drake May longest completion over 35 and a half yards? Mm. But I feel like this situation, if I'm right, when you look at playing bigger, bigger bodies for New England, meaning more bodies in the box for Seattle, more in the box, meaning one-on-one coverage, I think that I'll trust A.J. Brown, who, as we go back to last year, was brilliant on those throws of 20 more yards downfield, was kind of his bread and butter for Philadelphia, and you could maybe find one of those plays here in this game, given everything we're talking about. So A.J. Brown, longest reception, over 22 and a half yards.
This isn't straying too far away from your thought process, but something I was thinking was, with him being newly integrated into this offense, you're going to want to try to get him the ball early. And looking at some of the first quarter props, you can get a pretty decent, like in the plus 115 to plus 118 range on A.J. Brown, 15 plus receiving yards in the first quarter, just with the thought process that you're going to want to get your quarterback in rhythm, take advantage of this. What we have seen is not only a secondary that lost important pieces from a year ago, but even the pieces that you have this year dealing with injuries could take advantage of. So that was an angle that I was looking at. Plus 115 was the best one that I could find that was bettable, but there are better numbers out there as well.
Sorry, I'm putting this into our play sheet because I totally forgot about it. But yeah, A.J. Brown, longest reception over 22 and a half. That'll be something I have tonight. All right, you want the other one here. This one I don't think I'm going to play, but this entered my brain, and I think there's something here to it. As somebody who thinks maybe this game goes over, Sam Darnold total completions over 20 and a half today.
Yeah.
So first off, in the first game, we'll call it, in the Super Bowl, he completed 19 of them. He only completed 50% of his passes. He actually threw the ball quite a bit when you look at it from an attempt standpoint, given the way that game went. And then I was kind of thinking a little bit more. So I was kind of deep diving, and maybe you like this is paralysis by analysis. This could also tie into some tight end props for Seattle. If you go back to that game, one of the things that Sam Darnold did really well and that really killed the Patriots outside of the pressure was the fact that they destroyed New England over the middle of the field. Barner had four targets, four receptions, 54 yards, and a touchdown. So I went through the PFF numbers tonight. Every throw for Sam Darnold between the numbers against New England in the Super Bowl. In totality, Stormy, he goes 8 of 11, 101 yards, 9.2 yards per attempt, no touchdowns, no interceptions, but destroyed him when he was throwing over the middle of the field. I think it's going to be another big strategy here against New England. What's their strength? It's their corners. Gonzalez is going to play today. Remember, Jackson Smith and Jigba in the Super Bowl, he did nothing. He had nine targets, four receptions, 27 yards. Big part of the game plan for New England was to take JSN out of it. And if that's going to be part of this again, then I think this is another big day for these tight ends, or more importantly, another big day for Darnold to just pepper him over the field over and over again on a high attempt count and potentially a better completion percentage than what he did in the Super Bowl.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I was like, the attempts were intriguing too, especially with the over being at even money or plus 105 price. I think both of these quarterbacks could be in play for the completions or attempts overs today, given just the thought process on what the passing game is going to look like for these two and how good each run defense is on the other side. That said, there was one rushing prop that intrigued me a little bit, and I could be totally off my rocker, but I was looking at Ramondre Stevenson over 12 and a half for his longest rush. And I know that it's going to be tough sledding against the Seattle run defense. Yet, if you're having a more balanced attack and you're able to do what you want to do in the pass game, that could present some run game opportunities. And with Travion Henderson unavailable for this game, he's going to be the guy. Like, I don't think it's that hard to believe that he could pop one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that would be that ridiculous, especially if you do get to a second level and we're talking about backup safeties and whatnot, and being able to rip one of those off. Like you mentioned, there's going to be no musical chairs at the running back position, considering what the injury status is like. So
his backup is a second-year running back out of Cincinnati, Corey Kiner, who only saw limited reps in his rookie season playing for Arizona. So if that gives you any indication.
Don't disparage the kind dog like that.
I'm just saying. Okay. I'm just saying. So that was something that stood out to me. It is juiced to minus 125 because this is largely a lot of books been bet up to 13.5, 14.5. There is still a 12.5 out there. Again, minus 125, that price.
Yeah, I thought the other two that was worth mentioning was Jadeveon Price on the longest rush over, 13.5, you know, under is minus 125. Again, to invoke one of the things that the Seahawks did really well against the Patriots in that Super Bowl. They ran the ball really well on those edges. I think we mentioned the stat, or did I just say this one to you? Either way, if you look at runs outside the tight ends for Seattle in the Super Bowl, they had 11 carries, 68 yards, 6.2 yards per attempt, and three runs of 10 or more yards. So they really killed him on those outside runs. And if they feel like this Patriots team is once again having problems setting the edge, defending some of those long runs to the outside, then that's something maybe they go back to. And Price, with his explosivity as a runner, maybe could generate a run of 14 or more yards, because you have to get over 13 and a half. So
first touchdowns, I know, are always something that people like to have fun with. And
Sam Darnold.
I'm not actually going to give you specific names, although you can do with this what you will. looking back through, and we will have this updated again next year.
Where's
at
Stephanie?
The website at vsin.com. Well, Stephanie gave it up, right? Remember, she transitioned duties to VSIN managing editor Adam Burke. So maybe
like
we
in
can,
Lanterns. Have you watching that, by
him?
The way?
I have not.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
What's it? You said HBO. You told me yesterday.
Yeah.
It's on HBO.
I Green listened. Lanterns.
Well, I got mixed up because you kept on calling it Hubbo or something. Mm-hmm. But so we'll have this on vsin.com. It's a first touchdown tracker where you'll have the information for every single team each week, who the first touchdown scorer is, if it's on the opening drive, and other important data for this market in particular. But going back to last season, Seattle was the best in the league at scoring first. They scored first in each of their last 6 games of the season, 9 of their last 10, and 15 of 20 overall. So this was hitting at a 75% clip if you were taking a Seattle player or Seattle to score first. Meanwhile, New England scored first in just 42% of their games, 9-21 on the season, including playoffs.
That's interesting considering how easy their schedule was.
Yeah.
Right? No, seriously, you would think that how good their offense was and how easy their schedule was, you would think that they would have a higher rate of being the first team to score.
Yep. But they did not. And so if you were targeting specific players, and granted, yes, like coin toss and other things comes into play depending on how deep you want to get into some of this stuff. But Seattle, more often than not, even when they weren't scoring on their opening drives, was the team to score first. Because they were not a big opening drive scoring team.
Are you going to play a prop?
Those were the two. I already said that.
What were they again?
Ramondre Stevenson, over 12.5, longest rush, and A.J. Brown, 15-plus receiving yards in the first quarter.
This is an interesting survivor note. I'll save this for when we talk about some contests later.
Okay.
I don't want to distract too much.
I do want to remind you, though, if you think you're better than the experts, you've got an opportunity to prove it this football season.
I'm going to be in this thing. I signed up, Steve Cohen.
Let's go. The Edge Boost Average Joe contest puts you in the same pick'em format contest as the Circa Friday Football Invitational with all the pros. The Average Joe winner will earn next year's Circa Invitational invite themselves. It's free to play. You can register anytime during the season at vsin.com/Joe. Edge Boost is also offering its customers a $1,000 deposit if you finish first for any week. And if you don't have an EdgeBoost account yet, super easy to sign up. EdgeBoost.io. Use our promo code VSIN. Make sure you're...
Stormy and JBT, breaking down the coast that matters. This is West Coast Bias.
Let's go. And listen, those of you out there on the East Coast, you know it to be true. East Coast bias is a thing. We got to give the mountain and Western time zone people a little bit of love. Some teams that are really good. Why do you say home?
I mean, just the mountain thing is we still have to decide whether or not we're going to include Boise State in this moving forward.
So they're in the Pac-12. So I think
Correct.
It's fair to say.
All right. Yeah,
right?
That's fair. Yeah.
Is that that can be our delineation line there, which let's start there, right? Because Boise State hosting Memphis this week is the big dog. High stakes game for the G6 CFP spot. Second game with these types of implications in 3 weeks for Memphis after they beat UNLV in that week 0 opener. And then Boise, obviously we saw what they were able to do this week, pushing the then number 2 ranked team in the country, and the Oregon Ducks, to the brink. Had them on upset watch there late. Anything stand out to you, especially with the spread being as big as it is?
This is crazy. I don't know. Oh, man. So, and let's talk about the journey for Memphis too, right? So we have week 0 where they get to as high as a 6.5-point underdog against UNLV. That line ends up closing at about 4. They win that game outright. They cover as double-digit favorites against Arkansas State this last week. And then here they are. It's up to 9 at Circa against Boise State. This seems pretty wild. Memphis defensive line is good enough. I know that I have my questions still about the quarterback play for Memphis overall, but that defensive line seems good enough to keep them in some of these games, and they delivered in a big spot. And Tim's much better at this than I am. Do we not think that maybe this is this a bad spot for Boise? I mean, you had an opportunity to upend Oregon. You went out there and almost beat a big boy. Now you got to come back in a high-leverage CFP-type game and cover as a 9-point favorite?
There's an emotional letdown element to that potentially I could see as well. And maybe even I know it's still super early in the season, but maybe potentially a little bit beat up with the physicality that an Oregon team tends to play with as well.
The old Alabama angle?
Could be a layer. I don't know for sure, but I know when I first saw this spread, my first thought was that seems a little bit high for Memphis.
And let's be a little honest somewhat about what happened in that game. Oregon had 497 total yards in that game to 274 for Boise State. They didn't really run the ball particularly well. They were plus one in the turnover column, and Oregon committed 10 penalties. So I just want to, I don't want to freak out too much about a loss for Boise State. It upgraded them to that point when the reality was, I mean, they had 4-15 on third down, Stormy. They only had 18 first downs total. They were really good on fourth downs. Those are things that are generally sustainable. I feel like if you really view that Oregon game, a lot of us are freaking out about it, especially from the Oregon standpoint, but is it really a sign that Boise's that good, or are we watching that game going, what is Oregon doing this whole time?
Well, let's talk about this Oregon team, because they are from 2-6 now in the country, taking on Oklahoma State. We brought this up earlier in the week. I think fair to say two of the most disappointing performances of the entire opening week slate of college football. Oklahoma State had all of this hype bringing out Eric Morris and Drew Mestemaker and everybody from that North Texas team that was so good a year ago. And you know, I said this is the year for the Oregon Ducks. They're my national championship pick to come out and fall flat the way that they did. This is a big spread game, 22.5 points. But we had discussed in passing potentially looking at that first quarter, first half angle for Oregon, knowing that they got to exercise some demons and have maybe just the right opponent to do it. 6.5 is that first quarter spread. It's juiced, but that's attractive, is it not?
I mean, first half, something here with Oregon. This seems too good. I mean, look, you could say again what you want about Oregon in that performance. I just laid it out. A lot of shooting yourself in the foot. Bad on third downs. Committing penalties, the turnover, the fact that you were you nearly doubled up your opponent in yardage, right? You still had some positive signs for the Ducks in that game. For Mestemaker and the Cowboys, I mean, this seems seems to be a product, I should put it properly, of way overhyping a group here. Mestemaker was awful in that game. I mean, against Tulsa, we're talking about 59% completion, 3 turnover-worthy plays on an average depth of target of less than 7 yards downfield. What's he going to do against Oregon?
Well, it's crazy, too, because you think about what they did last year. They led one of the nation's most potent offenses. He turns the ball over 3 times, 2 picks and a fumble loss, and we're held to just 10 points despite being a 2-touchdown favorite in the game. Yeah. Like, let's add that context, too, to how big of a favorite they were against Tulsa, and then they lost by 2 scores.
And I'll just tell you really quickly, Tulsa pressured him on nearly a third of his dropbacks. Mm. What can Oregon do?
For sure. Different teams, obviously, but the Ducks, excuse me.
You're okay.
Did win this matchup last year at Autzen 69-3. Okay, this is another one that
you're really upset about your Ducks not performing well.
I think I'm going to lay that 6.5 in the first quarter, though. Like, minus 135, it is juiced, but I think that is a very worthwhile wager to be made. Montana State at Nevada. This is the
Come on, buddy.
In the ball, everybody.
This is hot, dude.
It is. They opened 5.5 point favorites. It is down to 4.5 now, so Wolfpack getting a little bit of play here, but still, not every day you see an FCS team favored on the road against an FBS team.
So I went back and looked. So if you remember at the beginning of the show, I had invoked this Montana State team took on New Mexico a couple years ago, and Devin Dampier's like first full-on season as the starter. And I went back because, yeah, as you said, we don't really see this that often. Montana State was favored in that game. They opened against New Mexico, Stormy, as a 12.5 point favorite in that game. They got bet down to a 4.5 point favorite. So there was a little bit, and then it was a back and forth affair and pretty tight game. I am tempted to look at Nevada here in this spot against Montana State.
Plus now, 160 money line.
I mean,
style?
So coming off of the game right against Western Kentucky, ended up being one of the bets over the weekend. And what did I talk about coming into this season? And I want to play on this, right? I thought Nevada could be a plucky ATS team. We've talked about this. There are improvements along the offensive line, the ability to run the football, the things that they have, and potentially, look at this. What did they do in the first game against Western Kentucky? Run for 323 yards, average 7.7 yards per attempt. They convert 50% of their third downs. They were generally a pretty solid team. They generated a lot of explosives. Success rate wasn't like the biggest gap, but either way, I feel like I want to just continue on this ride here. I thought Nevada was a good play-on team, a somewhat underrated team, being viewed as one of the lowest power-rated teams in the country. And obviously, I don't think they're like top 20. Yeah. But I think they're much like inching closer to the middle of the pack. And so, yeah, 4.5. I think Nevada's going to be alive here against Montana State. Famous last words.
Their defense did look good, beat up on Western Kentucky. My thing is, I just don't know what to take really from either team's early season opponents to this point. Western Kentucky, I don't think, is going to be any good. And for Montana State, Butler, who they beat by 27, is a non-scholarship Pioneer League team. And Utah Tech has been outscored 117-7 through two games against them and BYU.
Yeah, for the most part, full disclosure, this is me just continuing to plan that angle that I had before the season started, which is I think Nevada's coming in underrated. They proved me right in week one. Why not go back to the well again in week two?
One interesting, fun storyline for the broadcast as well. Jeff Choate, the Wolfpack head coach, he started the turnaround at Montana State as they started to develop and grow, and Brent Vegan kind of took it to the next level with them, making it to a couple national championships and now coming off, of course, their first win in more than 40 years.
Okay. Well, because I don't know if you've seen this. There's like some weird back and forth with Nevada and Montana State about this
whole.
That's what I'm saying. It's about that. And like I saw a press conference that showed about like, you know, this wasn't a personal thing, but then the assistant athletic director released an email from Nevada scheduling this game, and it was just some weird, it seemed very dramatic for no reason whatsoever. So I was hoping you were gonna give me insight on that, but
no,
I'll have to go look into it.
It's not anything too crazy. I think he's just, at least the quote that I saw from Choate on him saying it's not personal is just that he doesn't have any animosity toward Montana.
Right. And then the assistant athletic director released the email.
It's like,
I was like, what is that?
Making something out of nothing, it sounds like, at least in my purview. Okay, we still have a handful of other games. New Mexico State, Hawaii, North Dakota. You know what, actually, let's go North Dakota State at Air Force here.
Oh, buddy, this is a banger too.
Yeah, we go from an FCS team to a team that is making its jump from the FCS to FBS, and they have been awesome to start the season against an Air Force team that the two of us, we had Jesse Kurtz on from the Mountain West Network. He's also the radio analyst for the Air Force Falcons, who's really hyping up what this team could be. Small sample size against a bad Duquesne team, but they shut them out and had a great opener.
I am going to fully admit to doing something stupid here. I missed out on the best of the number, and I'm going to chase this bad boy. Give me Air Force money line to win this thing. And Danny Higgins, one of our former producers here, we got a season-long bet on the North Dakota State win total. I need this thing. Need it like blood. But I would say this. Look, I have a similar mindset with Air Force as I did Nevada. I think Air Force comes in as a relatively underrated team. We've talked about this. You mentioned it in our preseason conversation. Look, the win against Duquesne was not anything great. But I do think that they were holding back a little bit here. This is going to be big. And for North Dakota State, I mean, this is going to be a little different, don't you think? All of a sudden, you're coming in, facing an option offense. You're getting knees chopped at. This is going to be a really big deal. I think this is an awesome game, but I do think that Air Force is live to take this thing. So we'll go. Air Force, come on now.
This is why we say, I know that y'all are interested in the top 25 matchups and the playoff implications, all of those things. Who's to say North Dakota State, by the way, couldn't be one of them as well? Like, there's a ton of fun games on the West Coast that need to get their due, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're serious about football, you're serious about betting this football season, you got to check out Edge Boost, the financial platform built specifically for players, a Visa debit card with no usage fees, no declined deposits, no waiting on bank transfers either. Edge Boost gives you real-time access to your funds 24/7, 365, nights, weekends, holidays. It doesn't matter. They're there for you. Use it across all your favorite sports books, prediction markets, DFS platforms, optimized for licensed U.S. gaming, land-based, and online. Plus, get this, you can earn up to 0.5% cash back on eligible deposits, and daily deposit limits are up to $5 million per transaction. New users can sign up with our promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, make a minimum $100 deposit into your EdgeBoost account. EdgeBoost is going to match the deposit for you up to that $100. It's the smarter way to manage your gaming bankroll. EdgeBoost.io is where you need to go to use that promo code. Again, EdgeBoost.io, promo code V-S-I-N. Back to Wednesday night football next with Seattle Seahawks fan, but more importantly, our senior analyst over at Fantasy Life, Kendall Valenzuela, joining us weekly, breaking down all the prop angles you need to know.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This time of year is just the best. It's so awesome having college football back on our screens every weekend and the NFL season officially kicking off today. If you're looking to bet the season smarter, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. If you join us today, that will give you instant access to our updated NFL betting guide that has post preseason updates, everything you need to know from week one, including best bets and betting systems, contest strategies as well. If you sign up today, in addition to the guide, you'll also get our daily best bets, real-time bet splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch, Watch app, and so much more, including unlimited access at the website. Get started today for just $9.99, or you can save 50% off with the VSiN Pro annual subscription. Again, VSIN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can come join us. Alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We also have a lot of fantasy content on the website, and right. I did my fantasy draft last. I have like a frog in my throat. Sorry, everyone. It's bad when you when you have to speak for
a
living.
Let's not waste time. Fantasy football.
So listen, yes. So I did my main fantasy draft last night, and I received the ultimate kiss of death when I got the email that said I got an A grade on the recap for my draft.
I was the top ranked draft in my class
as
well.
See, it's the worst. It said you could finish first. I don't want that. I want like a nice C minus, really have low expectations and exceed them. Kendall Valenzuela, you can help us out. Talk through with the expert, Fantasy Life senior analyst, host, of course, on SiriusXM Fantasy as well, Channel 87, weekdays from 8 to 10 Pacific. But Kendall, like, you want the C grade, right? You don't want the
yes.
A grade. You don't want the first place projection.
I'd go even further. I'm like, you want the F, you want a D, yeah. You want them to like talk total crap about your team. So then you can be like, perfect. They hate it. So now I feel a lot better about my chances. Yeah. I would be scared with an A grade for sure.
All right. So I'm curious. I'll ask a selfish question because it involves my team, but I think it's actually a pretty interesting fantasy scenario as well. I'm not sure we've asked you about this yet, but what do we do with this Denver Broncos backfield? I've got them both. I've got RJ Harvey. I've got Jonah Coleman. How do we think this shakes out? And if you're drafting for this season, if you're doing some daily fantasy, how would you lean on this situation?
I think the Broncos could be a headache again this year. I think that you drafted one of the right people, which is Jonah Coleman. I don't like Jonah Coleman. The thing that we've heard all training camp and offseason is that Jonah Coleman is a better version of RJ Harvey. So I think if you're going into drafts tonight or over the weekend, like I usually go for Jonah Coleman. Now, if you need a veteran presence at the beginning of the year, J.K. Dobbins is not a bad bet. The bet is that he is going to be able to produce for you. Last season, he gave us 10 games. And so if you get, let's say, a Jonathan Brooks or a Marshawn Lloyd even, and we get these first looks week one, we see what they look like. Maybe Marshawn Lloyd is, you know, sharing the field a little bit more with Chris Brooks and Caleb Johnson. Maybe you've got Jonathan Brooks, who is, you know, sharing and splitting time with Chuba Hubbard. You pair them with a guy like J.K. Dobbins that you know is going to give you some production at the beginning of the season. Hopefully he stays healthy the full season, because I would love to see that, but usually he hasn't been able to do that. So I think if you get J.K. Dobbins paired with a younger guy or a guy that we have question marks for the beginning of the year, you can at least go ahead and start him then and feel a lot better about it. I think that Sean Payton hates our fantasy teams. Even if it's Davis Webb calling the plays, he might hate them too. So this could be just like a three-man committee, but I do like the upside of Jonah Coleman for the full length of the season more than the other two.
Kendall, you've been in draft season for what feels like forever at this point. You're even out here in Vegas doing one out at Stadium Swim. Is there a player or maybe a couple players that you've just had a strong difference of opinion on than maybe some of your other peers in the fantasy world, whether it's someone you're really high on or low on?
Yeah, honestly, I've been pretty high on Rashee Rice this whole time. That could come back to burn me. And that's how I get some of the A grades in those drafts. And I'm like, crap, they actually like him. This stinks. But I think for Rashee Rice, the thing with Rashee Rice and even Malik Nabers, we just got good news on Malik Nabers a couple minutes ago that he was a full participant in practice. Looks like he's going to be good to go for week one. But it's those high risk, high reward players where I think that if Rashee Rice is able to stay healthy a full season and not do stupid things during the season to get suspended, that he's someone that can help you win a fantasy league. Like, I see top three wide receiver upside for him because he's one of the only pass catchers on that team for Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is coming back from his awful injury last season. They added Kenneth Walker. So how much more balanced does this offense look? And we know that Kenneth Walker is an explosive back. So I would say one that I've kind of gone against a lot of people in that they just don't want to have the risk with Rashee Rice. That's where I've kind of gone. And I said, I want to take a bet on him. Same with Malik Nabers, because Malik Nabers, I think, is in the same exact category. If he can stay healthy for the whole year, he's someone that wins you a fantasy league every single time.
All right. We need you to be level headed here tonight. Your Seahawks taking on the New England Patriots. Might have a couple of safeties out. Are we starting Drake May? Is he a must start for us? And what are the ramifications of some of those injuries?
Yeah, I don't think... So I'll say this. This is not a great spot for Drake May, but I think if you drafted him this season, you don't have better options. And I do think that he's going to be a little bit better. what you have to look at with Drake May is that this team, you know, across the offensive line gets better from within and that they're able to kind of hold their own. I mean, last season, especially during the playoffs, we saw Drake May go down constantly and he was getting sacked all the time. So you kind of hope that that offensive line gets shored up just a little bit here. But the Seahawks are going to be a little bit shorthanded in the secondary. So I would say if you drafted Drake May based on where he was and his prices, that you're more than likely going to start him. I got a ton of Drake May, Kyler Murray questions today on SiriusXM, and I would still go with Drake May because I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a closer matchup. First game of the season, we kind of know how those all go. Some weird things happen here. And so I do think that Drake May is going to be the play. You just hope that you see New England improve on the offensive line. You hope that, you know, a healthier and more seasoned Will Campbell helps them out and that Drake May isn't, you know, running for his life or taking those sacks anymore this weekend or today, I should say. So yeah, I think he's a good enough play. He's inside my top 14. So it makes it tough to start anyone else around him.
Senior analyst at Fantasy Life, Kendall Valenzuela, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. She'll join us in the spot each and every week moving forward in the NFL season like she did last year. And to go down that road, fantasy and props, I think, go hand in hand a lot. We were talking about some of those Drake May angles, whether it be passing attempts or completions, yeah. But also the A.J. Brown angle with him being worked into the field. What type of expectations do you have for him in his Patriots debut?
Yeah, I'm really excited for this one. Like I'm excited for AJ Brown. Again, this is going to be a tougher matchup with Devon Witherspoon. I think on both sides of the ball, it's going to be tough with Witherspoon there. And then of course, Jaxon Smith-Njigba having to go up against Christian Gonzalez. But I think that we haven't seen Drake May with an actual elite weapon yet. And AJ Brown, for as much as people maybe wanted to write him off, they said, oh, well, he's reading books in the middle of the game. Like he's totally out of it. I think this is a classic case of a guy that just needed to get out of Philadelphia and that we're going to see a totally different player here that really wants to prove himself and kind of commit. So I'm excited for AJ Brown. He's someone, again, if you were taking him, it was the second round of draft. So you're obviously starting him. I also like, if we're talking props, I like Rashid Shaheed to go over his receiving yards prop tonight. I think that some people are a little bit down on Rashid Shaheed, or maybe not down, but they just don't know the expectations. I think last time I checked that earlier in the week, it was set at like 30 or 31 and a half receiving yards. But what Rashid Shaheed could do now with this team, is just a little bit different. I want to see what Brian Fleury has to do, their new offensive coordinator. And when he came in last season, it was midway through. He was involved in that trade. And so he didn't get a full season with them. He had to learn the playbook very quickly. He was utilized, but he was a big play threat. So if it's set at 30 or 31 and a half, you know, all it takes is one deep ball from Sam Darnold to really get him going there. And I do think he's going to be used a lot more this season. Maybe not one where you can put him in the flex just yet, but I do really like that line that I saw a little bit earlier this week.
And that is where it still is, JVT, 31 and a half for Rashid Shaheed.
All right, you go up to the website, fantasylife.com. I saw an article I was reading through, I think by Kendall Valenzuela. Are we buying in on Kyler Murray this weekend?
Ugh. I am. I say that reluctantly. Okay. Like I'm scared.
It's your article.
I still want to see it. I know. I'm scared. I'm still scared about it. Like the thing with Kyler Murray is that I would understand if people would want to take a week to figure out what he looks like. I think that if people were drafting Kyler Murray, then more likely than not, he was their QB2 in most of those drafts. Maybe some people walked away with him as the QB1. So I wouldn't be mad if they said, you know what? I just want to wait and I want to see what this looks like. It can't get worse, right? Like JVT, it can't get worse than what we saw last year with JJ McCarthy. So to me, it's the dual threat ability of Kyler Murray that you hope he can get it done through the year with someone like Justin Jefferson, who is an elite wide receiver that we thought last season was quarterback proof, proves that JJ McCarthy was just that bad, but also on the ground, like he can get it done both ways. So I have him inside my top 15. He's my QB 14 to start the week. But I will say that most of these quarterbacks that you draft with him are probably ones that you're going to start ahead of him.
I'm curious, in the last minute here with you, kind of tying into this, would the Packers be an option to stream a starting quarterback like against that defense without Micah Parsons that might be a little more susceptible? I mean, and as you move forward, it's going to be Geno Smith, Tua Tagovailoa, Baker Mayfield, guys that'll probably be available week to week.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I would hope that you had better options going into this week because I think Jordan Love, again, was probably the QB2. Our projections aren't actually that bad for someone like Jordan Love, and you guys can go and check those out at fantasylife.com. I think personally that Jordan Love, that team is going to have to utilize him more through the air no matter what. So he was one of my favorite QB2s to go and get, and I do think that if he gets the opportunity to drop back to pass a little bit more this season, that he's someone that can give us top 10 quarterback upside in fantasy football. You might have to wait for it, but but I know we're high on Marshawn Lloyd and all these other guys. But to me, Jordan Love with a more condensed offense, a more condensed, I should say, weapons with Jaden Reed, with Christian Watson, and then with Matthew Golden, now Tucker Kraft coming back as well. He's one of my favorites to just look at. And if he's on the waiver wire, absolutely go and pick him up.
Kendall, thank you so much for this, and good luck to your boys tonight. We appreciate you.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, guys.
Kendall Valenzuela, you can follow her on X at KValenzuela17. All of the work, as we mentioned, at FantasyLife.com. And each and every weekday, 8 to 10 Pacific, 11 to 1 Eastern on SiriusXM Fantasy Channel 87. We'll be right back.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Nothing like coming back from a commercial break, talking about what I need to add into the account real quickly before we do the best bets, because I want to tease the Patriots with something. And I don't like that the Jags are out to 8.5 now, so you're not getting the best number, but still appropriate in what we're doing. What? Why are you making that face?
Do you want production value in this show or not?
Listen, of course I do, but sometimes...
Fancy what? Graphics or not?
No, I don't. I don't want
you
them.
Clearly don't.
I don't want
because
them.
Here we go again. Majority, right before minutes prior, you're going to do this.
The majority of our offense is on the radio. I mean, of our offense, of our audience is on the radio anyways, and not they true. Don't see them.
It's not true. And I don't know why you would say that on the air.
Are they not?
Paul Bobey checks in.
Hi, Paul.
Says over 221.5. Easy money. Packers. No pass rush.
Okay.
Paul, who
do you agree?
You did not recognize when you met him in person.
So this is crazy.
Who you acted too good for.
That is not how it happened at all. Paul, you can chime in. I had never seen or met Paul in person before. Mm-hmm. So I was so excited. We had a great conversation. We talked a lot about, quite frankly, a competition that he and others do that I physically would never be capable of doing. I was very impressed by Paul. And the physique, the dude's got guns. I didn't know that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
You're learning from him. That's how you got on the workout program.
Correct. Him and Matt Eumanns, two of the greatest athletes I've ever met in my life.
Does your new apartment complex have a gym?
Yeah, I don't know. I have to go check.
So JVT got a new place as of today. You're official,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And tell me if you think, and maybe this is something we can revisit tomorrow since we're at the end of the show here, but tell me
at
if you
Storm
think
Bonatoni.
This is serial killer behavior. At me, JVT, at Storm Bonatoni, moneymovesatvsin.com, if you are more of an emailer instead of social media. But he got this place sight unseen. So I've not a video of the place, nothing.
That's not true. Video, floor plan, digital tour.
You didn't
tour.
Say video. You said floor plan and pictures.
Yeah, like the floor plan, the digital tour, whatever. You know, they have like the 3D tours. And
I thought
stuff.
You meant like the picture that is the floor plan. I didn't know that you saw the digital tour. That's more acceptable. What you were talking to me through made it seem as if you saw a picture of the floor plan that's like the black and white piece of paper.
Yep.
And... I just can't imagine living somewhere that I haven't actually been in, knew if it smelled weird, knew what the surrounding things were like. You've just walked by the place.
Drove by, to be specific. But yeah, nice area. Looks cool. I don't know. Want to live somewhere. That would be ideal, I think, to live in a place.
Even when I moved from Charlotte back to Las Vegas, I had like my mom and brother go scope out the place and do a tour.
You're a bougie wimp.
I'm not a... I don't think I'm bougie, but I am a wimp. That's true. I just can't believe that.
Just give me four walls and a roof, man. I'm in.
That's crazy. That's crazy behavior to me. You live here. You have no excuse not to go into the building and see the place that you're going to live and pay to live.
I'm going to go on Friday.
That's ridiculous. You're already locked in.
I haven't signed anything.
You made it seem like you had.
I'm just in. It's been accepted. It's mine. I go down there and I take my keys if I want.
I'm tired of the lies.
Sign papers.
Let's do the best bets, shall we? Because you have added a lot in the NFL this week. One college football play that is interesting.
What's going to happen to signatures? Because kids aren't learning cursive anymore. This is just food for thought.
It's all the digital signature now.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You never thought about that, huh?
Notaries are going to go out of business.
These are the things that I think about. The shower, sitting on my porch, things like that.
Nice. Yeah. So can we go back to the best bets thing?
I love just hitting the brakes on you. Go ahead. What do you want?
Well, you're first. I said you have a lot of new plays to add.
I do. So let's start in order. that I sent them in because I love our production crew. NFL week one, we've got three bets to make here and add to the portfolio. Jets money line +105 against those Tennessee Titans. You and I have both talked about our overall love for the Tennessee Titans coming into this year. I would be lying if I would say that my confidence in that team and in that coaching staff has been shaken, but I do know that I've liked the Jets coming into the season as much as you can for a team price like this. I think they're going to be a much better defensive group. I think offensively, you're going to get closer to Seattle version of Geno Smith. One of the big things for Geno last year, he was under pressure like crazy. Nearly 50% of his dropbacks. That's where a lot of this went wrong. It's going to be better here for New York. I don't know how much better, but I know it's going to be better. I think they're more adequate. I think they're a very strong teaser leg as well. But we'll add the Jets money line +105. We'll stick with the NFL week one for two more. We talked about this experiment, so let's experiment and test the hypothesis out. Cowboys, Giants, under 48.5. Talked about this from the standpoint of the Bengals. We'll do the same thing with the Cowboys. As we had discussed, nearly 50% of the snaps on this defense from last year gone. I think this team is going to be better on defense. Maybe the market's not accounting for it too much. It's a divisional game between two teams as well that are very familiar with each other. We'll go under 48.5 for Giants and Cowboys. Is that Sunday Night Football?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, on Sunday Night Football. And then for tonight, A.J. Brown, longest reception, over 22.5. As we talked about the matchups, if the Patriots might go a little bit bigger to kind of circumvent some of the pressure that was annihilating, I'll say, Drake May in that Super Bowl. If you play a little bit bigger, more guys in the box means some one-on-one coverage, and I think A.J. Brown can rip off a big one. He was great on throws of 20 or more yards downfield for Philadelphia in his time there, and I think you'll probably try to test that out if you're the New England Patriots and if it plays out that way. So A.J. Brown, longest reception over 22.5. To college, two plays here. Week two in college. Money where the mouth is. Texas Longhorns, -1.5 against Ohio State. I think this number should be a little bit bigger with them playing at home. Revenge spot. I actually kind of think they're better than Ohio State on a neutral field. So I think this one should be a little bit bigger for them playing at home. Give me Texas in the revenge spot against the Buckeyes. And the foolish play. The market has moved. I'm getting the worst of the number. What could go wrong? Tried to fade them in week zero. They plastered Jacksonville State. They will do no such thing out there in Colorado. Air Force, money line. +110 against North Dakota State.
Okay, looking ahead for me tonight, Wednesday night football as we kick off the season opener. I didn't find a lot of plays I loved, but a couple things that I did ultimately get down on. With Travion Henderson being unavailable for this game, Ramondre Stevenson's going to be the guy on the ground for New England. And the over 12.5, considering the way I had seen this gone up at some other books, even at -125, I felt was attractive for Ramondre Stevenson's longest rush of the game. Even with, again, how good Seattle's run defense is, I think there should be an opportunity to pop at least one that goes 13 or more yards. And speaking of that range of yardage, A.J. Brown first quarter, 15 plus receiving yards, +115 price. I feel like they're going to try to get him the ball early and often in this one, especially with some of the potential secondary issues that Seattle can have in the passing game's first true weapon. We talked about a moment ago with Kendall Valenzuela on the program that Drake May has had since he's been there in New England. Let's take advantage of it. We know how wide receiver and specifically his personality can be, so let's roll with it. And then as we were talking and you were doing your bets, I did officially place the bet in the app. Patriots +9, Jags -2.5 on a 6-point teaser. I wanted something on the side here. I do just generally early on in the season buy some of the upgrades that New England has made. I don't know if full season it's going to pay off, especially with the way that this schedule is going to be so much more difficult than it was last year when they had a historically easy schedule in the modern era of the NFL. So week one, it's a little bit of a crapshoot. Seattle's defense downgrading a little bit. Even though we know Mike McDonald is a wizard, I am hoping that New England can cover that number. I thought about pairing it with maybe San Francisco, but you know how high I am on the Jags and how low I am on the Browns. So That feels like a play that makes sense to me. Last couple minutes here, JVT. We are going to fully delve into this tomorrow, but the Circa Sport Million lines officially came out. There were a couple of these numbers. For anyone who doesn't know what that contest is, if it's your first time listening to us, it's 5 picks you have to make each and every week against the spread. The numbers that come out today, which will normally be on Thursday, are the permanent lines for the weekend when you make your plays. So some of the more interesting ones that popped up, one we mentioned earlier, this Cardinals Chargers number that was sitting 10.5. It is 8.5 here at Circa and 8.5 for the contest. The Patriots Seahawks tonight, if you wanted to do this early, 3. 49ers Rams tomorrow, 4. And the Bills and Texans, that's a game I know you've had your eye on, just a 0.5-point spread firmly there for the contest spread.
Yeah, so pick. All right. So Eagles will lock in and Saints will lock in, correct?
Yes.
We agree on those?
Eagles minus 4.5 on that line, Saints plus 7.
Okay. So we'll have to find out. We'll have to decide what we want to do with the Cardinals, if we're just going to write them off now that it's down to 8.5, or if we go elsewhere.
I do not like that the Steelers is 3.5. I was hoping that would be 3.
I mean, like I said, if you want that one, you can have it. Especially when I saw 3.5, I was like, that's all you. I will give you my blessing, especially if we can't figure out the others. The ones that you should think about and ruminate over the next 12 or 23 hours, so we can talk about this tomorrow. Jets plus 1.5. Cowboys laying that full 3. And Texans plus 1.5, or excuse me, plus the 0.5, and the Dolphins plus 3.5.
Okay.
So ruminate on those options. And if you have any, obviously.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll have a full.
We're not using your 49ers.
A full segment on it. No, we're not submitting early. That is something that if you are in this contest specifically, if you want to play on the Thursday night game, or in this case, the Wednesday and Thursday night game, you have to submit all 5 of your picks at that time without having full injury information.
Good tweet here. Says, pains me to say it. Why? But JVT is on to something. My 16-year-old had to figure out a signature to sign his driver's license last month because he never learned cursive.
Had to figure out a signature? That makes me so sad.
I'm telling you, see, they don't learn cursive. So now all of a sudden,
can't
like, what's going to happen to signatures?
Can't be a athlete if you don't have a Siggy. Tell him that. Okay, we got to step aside. Follow the money coming up after this. You love a good dart, don't you?
Yeah.